You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Gordon Cassius for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I can't believe we're even saying it. We're at the Gambia Khan and Kell Brook press conference, the opening one. It feels weird to even say that.
Does it? Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. I mean, you would have spoke about that particular fight a lot more than I have, I suppose. But, I think it's good. Like, I'm genuinely looking forward to this fight. I would 100% pay for it, you know. I've always been one to try and stick to my convictions. I'd be a bit righteous and that. But I want to watch this fight. And I kind of don't know who's going to win, you know. I feel like I'm going to be one of them proper armchair fans in the build up to this. Maybe change my mind a couple of times on the way through, and then at the end of it go, well, I knew that was going to happen.
When we look at kind of the rivalries we've had in British boxing over the few years, we've had ones that have kind of been forced together, like, not forced together, but yours and Frotch's one was never one that was expected. But the one with you and DeGal from your amateur days, it was always going to be expected. But we saw that fight. We never saw the ring match with you and DeGal, but at least we got to see that fight. This one, it was in danger of like never happening at all if it wasn't going to happen now.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And I can see same with me and DeGal never got the rematch. And we both probably thought, oh, well, we've always got each other. We'll always fight each other one day until the day that we don't, you know. I've got an exit strategy for boxing. He had one as well, and, you know, retired the fight, don't get made. And it's because, you know, ego and emotion are involved in either camp, and it forces the, you know, just makes any deal impossible. But I feel like it's taken probably both their careers to get to this point where they can both agree that, you know, this is a great and logical fight. They both got tremendous careers. You know, both been there with mega names, and they mentioned it at the press conference that this might be one that they get remembered for. Definitely one of the ones they get remembered for. So it's vitally important that they win. You know, it's on home soil. It's going to be in a sold out Manchester arena. I'm confident that this fight will sell. People will be fascinated by it. Each are going to have their own personal preference. I mean, I was speaking to Andy, the photographer, earlier, and his synopsis of their career so far was like the opposite of what I thought. I was like, wow, this is just, it's going to cut through the mainstream in so many different ways. So I'm really happy and excited that this fight's been made. It'd be, you know, and they're both, I genuinely feel this is a 50-50 fight. Not like when Mayweather Pacquiao was finally made. You're like, well, Pacquiao's got, you know, a few more miles on the clock now. Mayweather's doing great. You know, that happened 5 years before. Pacquiao might have beaten him. But this is not that sort of fight. This is shrug your shoulders and who knows fight. I genuinely think maybe you think different. But
I mean, for people kind of, not late to the party, but if you followed this story over the last sort of few years, you know that this is, they genuinely hate each other. It was like when you were fighting or being matched or linked with another fight with James DeGale. And even so, Frotch, you could kind of tell that this isn't just you guys just kind of doing this stuff for cameras, which a lot of cynical people think. But with Brook and Khan, these guys don't like each other.
No, this is definitely genuine. You can see that. Press conference today, I thought Khan did a little bit better than Brook. I thought he kept his composure a little bit better prepared, maybe. He filled the room with more people, so they were laughing at his jokes a bit more, you know, and that
tactical,
yeah, tactical, definitely. And that's what, and he said some things and was waiting for the reaction, and Brooke bit, and couldn't really get past that biting stage, but there's going to be a lot of talking in the build-up to this fight, so they got to get used to it. But they definitely aren't texting each other before we go in, right? Let's do the strategic push. You do the push, you know, and then I'll say this and you say that, you know, which does go on. You would know better than anyone else. And then fabricated rivalries, which, you know,
I don't know what you're talking about, by the way, mate. Everything that goes on IFL is 100% genuine.
I can't believe anything. You know, when this fight is finished, you know, maybe there'll be an instant handshake and an instant thing, but maybe they'll detest each other, like me and DeGal did, and me and Froch did for some time after the final bell as well. So, and not that you want that. Me and Carl are good friends now. Like, we get on well. We've just finished, and I'm not plugging it. We've just finished our little...
Plug it as much as you want, mate.
It's finished. It's done with the plug.
Oh, it's done. All right.
That's what I mean. It's finished, so I'm not plugging it. We've just done a tour. We can spend time together, and I think people like that now. But the reason they like it so much now is because it was so real. It was so genuine at the time.
I'm assuming you haven't spoken to James DeGale since he retired.
No, I haven't spoken to James, but no need to, like, you know. I've got to be honest, like, when he comes up, you know, for comedic effect, I'll throw him under the bus, you know, make fun of him. And probably the needle will be there, and maybe because it maybe does split a few opinions. Like, well, who came out on top? You know, I think it was me. You know, I had the bigger fights. You know, I had the good wins.
You both had very successful careers. You talk about Brooke and Khan there, but when it comes to you and James, I think you can say that you both had very, very successful careers.
That's it. So I'll leave it there. I don't know. I'll leave it there.
You might do a tour of him one day. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that would work. But back to these guys. This is definitely genuine. They've got a lot of experience in the ring, but now it's about your experience outside the ring, how you deal with the build up to this fight. So. We will see. Maybe it make no difference. Maybe one fighter will be totally dominant in the build-up to this fight, and then the other guy goes out and does the job on the night. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Did you pick a winner?
I mean, I'm genuinely, openly going to say that I could chop and change my mind in the build-up to this, but I think it's a close fight, and right now I think Khan might edge it, you know, and that's a change. Because I always thought Brooke would be, you know, when Brooke was flying high and Khan was up there, I thought Brooke would beat Khan. I thought he would just time him, walk him onto a big right hand or a big left hook or whatever it may be. But now I just think it might be just a touch fresher in the speed, and you know, you might land something on him. I think both their punch resistance might not be quite as good as it once was. But they've both been out of the ring for a long time, you know. The weight might be key, you know. If Brooke really struggles to make this catch weight, then that might, you know. But if he's flying and he makes it comfortably, then you know, it might be Amir who's in trouble. Amir might be struggling to make the weight, you know. It might just, you know. There's been times you can clearly see periods in Khan's career where he can't make the weight anymore. His punch resistance gone. He gets beat. He moves up, and he almost reinvents himself. He's done like two or three times coming up from where he started lightweight. He's up at welterweight now. So they've both been out the ring for a couple of years. If they've been floating around at heavier weights, and now it's time to cut back and get down, that might make a huge difference on the night. We want to know, don't we? We want to see it.
Would you still make 168?
What personal question that is? I don't know. How much are you going to pay me?
Got to find an opponent first.
It's funny, yeah, well.
Yeah. Everyone's doing the old super middleweight up to cruiserweight challenge at the moment.
Hey, I need a long cam to make cruiserweight. No, I mean, camera makes my face look thick. Do you know what I mean? I'm in.
Your hair looks tremendous.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah? Your hair does look tremendous. it does, genuinely.
I'm happy with it. I mean, I've had hair for a couple of years now, like, and it's going strength to strength. I still get beasted online whenever I'm on fucking Sky. I'm like, mate, have you not seen me? Like, don't be fooled. I reinvent myself. But the last 3-4 years of my career, it was, how much are you going to pay me to make 168? It's not how much you're going to pay me for that world title fight. How much are you going to pay me to fight this guy? How much are you going to pay me for making that weight? The day before I flew to Jeddah, I boxed a guy in Saudi Arabia once, right? And I was thinking, it's a lot of money on the line. Do I really want to do it? Do I really want to get that close to death? You know what that feels like? You'll never need to, and I hope you don't ever do. But
well, right now I don't ever need to, but never say never, you know?
Well,
I wouldn't even make cruiserweight at the moment.
What do you need to, man?
No, I don't.
Don't do it. I retired at 30. I think I'm 2 or 3 years younger than these guys. Do you know what I mean? It's sometimes it's easier standing this side of the camera, this side of the ropes, and not have to get punched in the face. Not have that feeling of your eyeballs being dry. It's a bit weird, that. Gets a bit funky. Bit gnarly. But you do it right. I think they're looking good, Nick. Both of them already, you know. Brooke looks thick. He's always thick, isn't he? So, you know, if he's got, you know, 10% body fat now, but he's still got a lot of weight to shift, he might be a bang in trouble. But if he's already close to his weight, he's going to be a lot bigger than Khan on the night. Might pay a dividend.
George Groves, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV, as always. Yeah, 3 odd months away, I think, roughly. About 2.5 months away.
10 weeks. I think they said 10 weeks.
So 10 weeks.
Yeah. It's all systems go now. They'll be back sparring. They've got 8 weeks of graft and then maybe a week or two of tapering. Exciting times. Christmas. Oh, train over Christmas. It's brutal. Fought in January once. Not fun.
Well, Eubank and Williams have got to do that now as well.
Yeah, they got to do it. I mean, Eubank don't look like he eats much anyway, does he? I bet he's cool. Williams, I bet he enjoys Christmas. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's a great fight, isn't it? That's a really good fight.
Well, within 3 weeks of each other. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good fight, and he's got to go to Cardiff. So Eubank does. So it's kind of in the lion's den as such. That's a great fight. Pick and fight.
Right. Well, I'll let you crack on. I think you was actually on your way out. I nabbed you for an interview. George, thank you very much, and we'll definitely catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, great. Good to see you, Coogan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.